Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Nick, tell me about the plan you're working on.
Sure. Well, Dan, I'm a big numbers and spreadsheet guy. So, you know, we've been working on developing a rental portfolio that's going to provide financial independence for, you know, me and my wife, and help take care of all of our living expenses.
So you're not going to work, not going to have a job. Your rentals are going to pay all your expenses?
Correct. That's correct. We do have a little side hustle that we're hoping to get full-time into, but in the interim, yes, sir, that's the goal.
Nick's about 1 year into his five-year plan, and on the podcast today, we're going to talk about exactly what his plan is, what he's going to do. We'll talk about where he is right now. We'll go over his numbers, and at the end of the interview, I'll give my thoughts on what he's doing and see if we can maybe improve it for him. Joining us on the show today from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is Nick Zimmerman. We'll take a real quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back, and we'll talk to Nick. Being a landlord just became a lot easier thanks to Tenant Cloud. They have everything you need to manage your rental properties all in one place, from taking online applications to creating custom leases specific to your state and collecting rent online. And this is really cool. They actually have local contractors in your area to help you when you have a repair call. That's right, contractors in your area that are there for you when you need them. Everything is right there, all in one place. How much does it cost? Well, this is crazy. It's totally free to sign up. It's not a trial. It's free forever. They do have some paid plans, but it's totally free to sign up and get started. Just go to tenantcloud.com. That's tenantcloud, C-L-O-U-D, tenantcloud.com. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Nick, reaching financial independence and having your rentals cover all your living expenses is a pretty awesome goal. Do you think you're going to need a ton of rentals to get there?
Not at all. You know, to cover our personal expenses and, you know, also make us happy, you know, be able to live the lifestyle that we want to in that financial independent stage, you know, given the houses and what I currently have in my portfolio, it only take about 8 to 10 houses to accomplish the lifestyle that we want to lead.
Okay, 8 to 10 houses, and you want to have them all paid off. So no mortgages on those properties?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. So how much is that, like, on a monthly basis? Like, what kind of number are you looking at?
Sure. So on a monthly basis, you know, we're shooting for just a square $10,000 a month.
Okay.
And we're looking at about $1,000 per single family house.
Okay. All right. $1,000 per house, $10,000 a month. Now, you're going to have some expenses, your taxes, even when the properties are paid off, you're going to have taxes and insurance and some vacancy here and there. Have you accounted for that too?
Yeah, yes, sir. So, you know, and this kind of gets into our strategy of, you know, how we buy houses from getting a tenant, and then, you know, how we account for those expenses. You know, a few things we do is, number one, for every single property we have, we like to keep 3 months worth of cash of operating expenses just sitting in a checking account.
Okay.
You know, and then number two, to account for any vacancies or, you know, any big expenses, like let's say if I have to replace a HVAC in a house, you know, we're taking rents and we're putting them in ETFs to help grow our capital. So, you know, as time goes on, our capital, if you will, is building and building. And, you know, so really any expenses, minor or major, you know, we'll be able to address them in the long run.
Okay. All right. So an ETF, that for anyone that doesn't know, that's basically like a basket of stocks. So you're correct, taking the rent money and you're putting that in the stock market. Now, there's a risk there that the market could go down when you need to get to the money. Like, does that concern you that like you're putting your emergency fund at the stock market risk?
So as long as I have about that 3 months worth of cash sitting in a checking account, you know, that really takes away from, or I'll rewind, I'll say that affords us the opportunity to take a little bit more risk with the cash that we get to try growing it elsewhere.
Right. I gotcha. Okay. So you've got 3 months in cash and you also have current rent coming in every month. So basically anything that would come up, you're able to handle with the current cash flow or your reserve. And then any money after that, you're putting in the stock market.
Correct.
Yes, okay. Sir. I gotcha. Okay. So tell me where you are now. So you're a fairly new investor. You've been doing this for about a year. What have you done so far? Tell me about your portfolio.
Sure. So earlier in 2020, you know, that was the time. So February, April, we went ahead and bought two single family houses. And they're in the lower income area of North Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You know, so since then we've, you know, just been a landlord for those properties. And we've just been kind of following the process that I outlined earlier. You know, okay, we have 3 months of cash and then we're just working on building our capital to keep buying more of these houses.
So are you buying the properties with cash or are you financing them and then working to get them paid off?
So the two houses that we bought earlier in 2020, we did use leverage. We used a 30-year HUD conventional mortgage, and it's just like any other fixed conventional mortgage you could buy for your primary house, except this one you can buy for a investment property.
Okay. All right. So just a regular mortgage. And then walk me through. So you've got two properties now and you want to get to 10. So are you going to save money and buy the future properties with cash, or are you going to keep doing what you've been doing, saving 20%, buying a property, and then once you get your 10, work on getting them paid off?
Sure. So, you know, really our game plan moving forward into 2021 and within the next 5 years, you know, we're going to pay for these houses in cash right off the bat.
Okay. And how much are properties in your area? How much are you looking to spend per property?
Sure. So, you know, I've found the sweet spot for these types of single family homes, which is a 3-bed, 1-bathroom, in this market is typically going to run $65,000.
Okay. And so you want to get to 10 properties within the next 5 years?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Now that's a lot of money. So if you're going to save $65,000 per property, that's a lot of money to come up with. How are you going to save all that money?
Sure. So, you know, and I'll say this is the biggest thing that's enabling, you know, me and my wife to be able to go buy houses in cash is that we live off of one income, you know, both me and her work. Okay. And then I, you know, we also have a side hustle that brings in money each month.
What's your side hustle? You know,
so the side hustle that I have is financial planning and financial coaching.
Okay. Okay. All right. So you're doing the side hustle. You guys both have jobs. I'm assuming you've got good jobs, right? I mean, it sounds like you guys work in finance.
I do. My wife actually works in digital advertising.
Okay. Okay. All right. So you're living off one salary and then the other salary, you're just saving money and building that up to buy a property.
Correct.
Okay. So to do that, to buy 8 properties in cash over the next 5 years, that's a lot of money. So you guys are just hunkering down, saving money, and then looking to buy properties pretty aggressively, right? That's kind of the plan.
It is. That's the plan. And, you know, it's pretty interesting when you sit down and you look at the math, you know, the more properties we get, it's that snowball effect. You know, so really once we get to property 5, just the cash flow from those properties is going to be able to buy another property in cash within 1 year.
Oh,
so
right.
You can see, you know, towards the latter end of that 5th year, that's really when, you know, the aggressive purchasing and, you know, capital is really going to start coming in.
Right. Right. I like that. So are you buying properties that you need to fix up? Or are the properties more ready to go?
You know, the properties I'm looking for and the 2 that I bought in 2020, they were pretty much ready to go.
Okay.
One of them needed minor interior paint. But, you know, I'm not really looking for anything that I have to put major repairs into. I'm more looking for, you know, hey, if it needs a little interior cosmetic work, that's fine. But I want to be able to buy it and then turn it around and get a renter in there.
Now, that's an interesting point because it's easy to find a property that doesn't need a lot of work. I mean, you just have to find the deal, close on the property, and then start renting it out. Where if you could find a property that maybe needed a lot of work that you could maybe buy at a discount and put some sweat equity into, you might be able to buy properties faster. Have you considered doing that, or do you just not have the time to put into doing a rehab?
So I've definitely, or I should say we've definitely considered that. We're a part of a couple local RIA groups where they have a lot of wholesalers, a lot of fix and flip. And I'll tell you, I mean, based off of everything I've seen, you're absolutely right. I mean, some houses in our market that, let's say, were flooded, you know, and they were completely gutted. So you're going to need to get in there and really almost rebuild the house. You can pick those up for almost $10,000. Mm-hmm. You know, that's about the average home that's going to need a decent amount of rehab. But, you know, for right now where we're at, you know, we have a lot going on with work, side hustle and everything. So we don't really have the time to play that project manager role, if you will.
Okay.
But in the future, you know, I definitely will be looking into that as start freeing up more time.
Yeah. I mean, because you think about it, I mean, to save $10,000, I mean, it sounds like that's relatively easy for you. If you could buy a property with cash, and then if you can get some contractors and have them spend $20,000 and have them do the work, that might be a way to get there faster. But I do see your point where you really don't want to spend a lot of time on this. You're busy with your job, and your time is probably better spent doing your side hustle and your job. So, but you know, that's the great thing with real estate. There's so many different ways you can do it, and you just have to figure out what works for you. And obviously you know what you're doing. Well, let's talk about one of your most recent deal. Can you kind of walk me through how you found it? Maybe some of the numbers on it, what the deal was like.
So it was a 3-bed, 1-bath in North Baton Rouge, and the purchase price was $65,000.
Okay.
So, or go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So it was $65,000. Did it? And you said it didn't need any work at all.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. So you just found the property. You put down? Did you put down 20%?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep. So, all in for your closing costs, down payment, how much cash did you need to bring to the table for that deal?
Sure. So for 20% down payment plus closing cost, it was right at $20,000.
Okay. And how much is that property rented out for?
That property is rented out for $1,000 even per month.
$1,000. Okay. And then how much is your mortgage payment every month?
So mortgage payment, and that's escrow, you know. So it's
okay,
property
taxes,
tax,
insurance.
Yes, sir. That's $425 a month.
Okay, so you've got, doing some quick math here, $675 a month before any kind of expenses?
$575.
Right. Okay. $575 a month. And you've got a Section 8 tenant in there. So that rent is direct deposited in your account every month on the first?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Does the tenant have to pay anything, or is it 100% paid for by the housing authority?
So I'll say this. When we first purchased the property, the tenant had a voucher where, East Baton Rouge Public Housing Authority, we pay 70% of gross rent, and then a tenant would pay 30%. But, as COVID developed in our area and the markets, took a hit from that, she actually lost her job. So HUD stepped in and is now paying 100% of gross rent.
Wow. That's really the great thing. I'm really happy to hear that, because, I think there's a perception out there that a lot of landlords are struggling with COVID, and that they're having a hard time getting tenants to pay rent. And, there's some landlords that are, and I'm sure there's some tenants that aren't paying, but in your case, it's almost better that you don't have anything to worry about. The rent is right. Coming in on the first. Was that a complicated process to get that approved?
It was not. I'll tell you the truth, Dan. How I found out was I got a letter from the housing authority, and I went to go check my mail and open it up. And it just said, hey, your tenant, is now having a 100% subsidized rent. Wow. From the housing authority. And I actually reached out to the case manager first to say, hey, is this legit? And she said, oh yeah. She said, your tenant lost her job, and we are stepping in and subsidizing 100% of rent.
That's great. I'm glad you brought this up. So, I mean, this is a good tip for anyone listening that maybe does Section 8. If your tenant loses your job, make sure you reach out to the housing authority, because your area may have a similar program. That's right. That's really awesome. Now, when you bought that property, did you, when there's a tenant in place, you really can't screen them. You got to just assume they're a good tenant. Was there any kind of screening you could do to make sure that this tenant was going to be a good tenant?
So, one thing we did is when we did the walkthrough of the house, we kind of went in as, oh, we're looking at your AC unit, So I was kind of able to see, how clean the house was and just how the tenant was keeping it on a daily basis, But really what helped me with seeing the quality of the tenant was asking the, previous homeowner to see their rent rolls and see, the consistency of that tenant paying rent each month. So, that was one thing that really helped me out, saying, okay, this current homeowner has not had any issues with receiving rent and receiving it on time. So that was one thing. The other thing was this tenant that's at that property, she's been there for 8 years.
Wow.
So, she's been there for a while, and, look, every year you have to renew your lease with your tenant. So, the thought process for me was, is any landlord that's, going to keep renewing a lease, is going to renew a lease with a good tenant.
Right.
So
right.
That pays on time, So that was helpful deciding factors for me when purchasing the property.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think as long as you keep the property nice, you keep the property up, you have a good relationship with your tenant, I mean, she could be there for a really long time.
Right.
That's really good. Do you know if Section 8 tenants stay longer? I feel like a lot of Section 8 tenants, once they're in there, they may stay for a really long time. Have you ever seen any data on that?
Yes. So, in researching Section 8 and getting into purchasing these homes, one study actually found that HUD themselves produced back in, I think it's 2016, it's called Length of Stay in Assisted Housing. And a multidisciplinary research team, went out, they performed this national study. And what they found for Section 8 for that program was the average tenancy rate is 5.6 years. So, you know, that was one thing that was very attractive to me was, you know, once you get a tenant in there, on average, they're going to stay for 5.6 years.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Well, Nick, it sounds like you're on a really good path. It sounds like you've got a great plan. I think you're going to be successful with this. You got to check back in with us in a couple of years and tell us how you're doing on reaching your goal. Before we wrap things up, I just want to say we do have some new investors that listen to the show that are trying to figure out how to get started. Are there any tips that you could pass on? Maybe anything that you figured out in your first year in owning rental properties?
Sure. So, you know, first thing, and this is really what helped encourage me along the way was, you know, listening to your show, Dan, you know, tuning in every Tuesday, hearing other investors' experience. And then also, I mean, one guy that really kickstarted me in Section 8 was Larry Meyer. You know, he had a podcast with you back in 2015 where he was just talking about Section 8 and, you know, the guaranteed subsidies, so forth. And that really, you know, I learned a lot just from listening to him. So, you know, I would say what helped me is just learning from folks that are a couple steps down the road, if you will, what you're trying to do. But then second of all, I would say the biggest takeaway from purchasing these two properties is find a good insurance professional. And the reason I say that is, you know, I was blessed on these properties to be able to inherit the flood insurance quotes from the previous homeowners. But if not, you know, I got one quote that was for $2,500 annual premium. So that really would have, sunk the deal for me. So I would encourage anybody out there starting out, you know, if you find a deal that looks like it makes sense, just go ahead and pass that along to your insurance professional and have them run homeowners and flood insurance and give you some estimates.
Great advice. Thank you so much, Nick. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your story with us. Before we wrap things up, I just want to point out a couple of things about Nick's strategy, especially for newer listeners. Nick obviously makes a lot of money. He's able to save a lot of money to buy rental properties, but I don't want anyone to walk away thinking if you don't make a ton of money, you can't buy rental properties. We've talked to plenty of people on the podcast that have bought rentals with none of their own money, or maybe they've just saved for down payments. There's lots of ways you can do it, so just don't give up if you can't buy a rental property with cash. The other thing I wanted to point out is Nick's strategy of saving money and putting it in the stock market to buy rental properties. I think that's a really risky strategy. Nick's obviously comfortable with that risk, but the market's kind of random. It can go up, it can go down. You have no control of it. I would never do that because when I'm saving for a rental property, I want to know that cash is going to be there for me when I'm ready to make a purchase. I don't want to lose that money because the stock market went down and now I've got to wait for it to come back up. So decide what's best for you. But for me personally, I would never do that strategy. I want to thank today's sponsors for making today's episode possible. First, I'd like to thank Tenant Cloud. If you're looking for online applications, online leases, if you're looking to find local contractors in your area, you can find it all at tenantcloud.com. You can get started for free. Just go to Tenant Cloud. That's Tenant Cloud, C-L-O-U-D, tenantcloud.com. I'd also like to thank Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group for sponsoring today's episode. If you're looking to buy a rental property, whether you're just getting started or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge. She's a nationwide lender and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs and she can find something that'll work for you. You can get started today. Just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe. We have new interviews every single Tuesday. And if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.